Hello, welcome to another episode of Ask the Doulas podcast. You have Kristen and Alyssa here today, and we are excited to be back with Dr. Nave, the naturopathic doctor at Health for Life GR.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming again. Last time we had an amazing conversation about a woman's cycle, and today we want to talk about actually preparing your body for pregnancy.
Yep.
What do you want to say?
Well, that ideally we'd start a year ahead.
1 year ahead.
1 year ahead.
Okay.
And so, oh, go ahead.
So does that mean they should be off birth control, like, 1 year ahead, or would you advise getting off of an IUD or birth control pills in advance of that year is my question, because that's something that is commonly asked.
Yeah, that's a great question. So even though ideally I say a year, if a woman wanted to, say, get pregnant in less than a year, then I would suggest, if she's coming off of an IUD that has hormones in them or an oral contraceptive, to stop taking it at least 3 months before starting trying to conceive.
Okay.
Because the oral contraceptive and the IUD that has hormones, it's basically producing the hormones that your body should be responsible for making. And what women often find is that once they stop using those, because basically it's like suppressing the body's own production of your hormones, is that she doesn't have a period for an extended period of time. And I would also want her to, like, detox her body and make sure that she's pooping regularly, that her hormones are being made at an optimal level, and basically reestablishing what the normal cycle, the optimal cycle, mm-hmm. should look yep. like.
See previous podcast. So if you're preparing your body for a year, mm-hmm. then that means you can stop at 3 months. So this isn't the preparing your body. This is just a part of it. I don't
yes.
know if I'm asking this question
yes.
right. So
yeah.
12 months ahead of time of when you would ideally like to be pregnant.
Yes.
You're going to talk about what to do. But
right.
then 3 months before minimum is when you should get off a hormonal birth control pill.
Right.
Or IUD.
Yes.
Okay.
Because it gives your body time to, like, normalize your cycle and prepares your body to actually hold a baby so that it can grow.
Okay.
Yeah.
So then what do we start doing at 12 months out?
So 12 months out, it's basically a multifactorial approach. So stopping the things that interfere with your hormones. So, like, the oral contraceptive or the getting the IUD removed, cleaning up her environment. So this is, like, skincare products, household items, like household cleaning supplies, being more environmentally aware of the things that she's using, the foods that she's placing into her body.
If she's coloring her hair, things like that.
Right. If she's coloring her hair, nail polish, things like that. Okay. And then we would also want to address, like, nutrition. So a lot of the foods that you are really accessible, so, like, going to the fast food or going to a restaurant, are foods that promote inflammation. So they tend to be higher in trans fats and, like, refined sugars, which are all shown to increase inflammatory products in the body. So we want to, like, reduce that by making sure that the woman is eating more whole foods. So when I say whole foods, I mean, like, from the earth, no one processed it.
Yes.
You know, optimally. Mm-hmm. But if you're getting it frozen, that's fine too, as long as someone didn't already make it into a meal. So then you have more control and autonomy about what is being placed into your body.
So what does inflammation do to affect
the
fertility?
Hormones? Mm-hmm. Okay. So with inflammation, we have more cortisol. We have dysregulation of our blood sugar. We have greater likelihood of mental and emotional disorders. We have, it just wreaks havoc
on us. So a lot of, like, what we talked about last time with the cycle, if you're not having a regular period, your cortisol levels could be too high, and that disrupts everything else.
Right.
So inflammation kind of does the same thing to your body.
Yes. And things that can influence inflammation is not just the food that you eat, but, like, being in a constant high-stress environment and not managing that effectively, or not having tools to really take care of yourself and, like, having self-care. Like, self-care is not selfish, like, the way that people typically think of it mm-hmm. as, but more so it's nurturing of yourself. And, like, think of the year leading up to pregnancy as rediscovering yourself, as reconnecting to who you are, and getting in the mode of I am ready to carry a baby to full term. I'm ready to take a new, add a new life to my life.
Mm-hmm.
And getting connected to that and going through all processing your past traumas. So like mental, emotional health is absolutely important with regards to getting ready to conceive. Ideally, I wouldn't want someone to be seeing conception as a solution to a relational issue because it probably won't be.
Right.
And it will probably exacerbate a lot of those things. And so during that year leading up, dealing with your past traumas, whether they be related to, oh, I miscarried, I had a miscarriage previously,
mm-hmm.
you know, dealing with like processing what happened, how that affected you, not just trucking along to get pregnant again, but like really fully, not necessarily living in it, but not pushing your emotions aside because they are valid, you know? Mm-hmm. And like, if whatever you haven't dealt with, and this is not to guilt any woman by any means, but whatever we haven't dealt with, that influence the baby, that influence the baby's risk for like depression and like anxiety. It influences the genes and their susceptibility to different types of conditions. And so in that year, by you taking care of yourself, you're taking care of that baby in advance as well.
The baby you haven't even had yet.
The baby you haven't even haven't had even yet.
Conceived yet.
Haven't yeah. even conceived right. yet.
So what if a woman is a constant dieter? How do you handle women who are, say, on a fad diet?
Mm-hmm. Well,
if they are wanting to conceive?
Yeah. So I really like, I think I brought it. No, I didn't bring it with me, but I'll show it to you guys afterwards. I really like the book Intuitive Eating. It's written by two dietitians. And before mindfulness eating was a thing, these two dietitians came together and they're like, diets don't work. Diets are a lie. And I completely agree with that. If you think that, oh, I don't have enough willpower, you're not the one failing. The diet is failing you because they weren't built to work. They're not right. sustainable. At least the diets that people often purport.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I would like to reclaim the term diet because diet just means eating.
What you're eating, right?
What you're eating. Right? Mm-hmm. Right?
Sure.
And so if you view your diet, if you view your food as nourishing yourself, as honoring yourself, as you fully immerse yourself in the experience of eating, so smelling the food, because you eat with your eyes first, so like viewing it, it's appetizing, you smell it, you taste it, you savor the textures that are in your mouth and like the flavors that are bursting in your on your tongue, and like just really immersing yourself in that and sitting in that and being mindful, you have a greater connection to yourself. You are then more apt to tell when something isn't going well.
Sure.
And so if a woman is a fad dieter or is using food as a coping mechanism, we would then assess what is food giving you that you are not at this time receiving.
Okay.
You know? And so talking about that, having her read the Intuitive Eating book, because it goes through like what type of eater are you, and like reconnecting yourself to that intuitive eater. Because as children, have you ever watched children eat? They do not sit. They get up, they eat what they want, and then they go back around and play.
Yes.
And like at some point we lose that ability to tell when we're hungry or when we're craving something, and really honoring that. And intuitive eating is all about getting back to that.
Okay.
Yeah. So I would definitely work with her and address like, when did this first start? What is it giving you? What is it not giving you? And what is your motivation for doing things in this way? Because what is, I guess, encouraged by the media as what a healthy weight looks like, it's very cookie cutter, and I'm all about individualized care. And like, if you look at someone's bone frame and they're like real thin and they have like big bones and they look sick, you know, or they don't feel well, then that's not good.
Sure. And then fitness is obviously a big question many of my birth doula clients have. Like, mm-hmm. What should they do in preparation? Mm-hmm. So if, say, you know, I was with them for the first delivery and then they want to conceive again. Mm-hmm. So what would be an acceptable form of fitness as you're trying to conceive? What mm-hmm. should you do to get your body ready for birth and the mm-hmm. postpartum time?
Mm-hmm. If you're already, if you're already exercising, just maintain it. Don't go overboard. Don't become sedentary. Moving your body at least 10 minutes per day, ideally 30 minutes, but that 30 minutes doesn't have to be in one chunk.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
You know, being consistent is more important than doing things really hard and really intense in a short period of time. Mm-hmm. So if she's already exercising, just keep doing it. You're doing great, Mom.
Nice.
Now, if she's excessively exercising, that could be another thing that could be causing, like, amenorrhea. Mm-hmm. So, like, yes.
Right.
You know,
I have friends who have been extreme athletes who
right.
just don't get their period.
They just right. don't get their period.
Gymnasts
because,
and, yeah, runners.
Mm-hmm. Because, like, all the hormones are being turned into something else, as opposed to getting turned into progesterone and having adequate levels of estrogen so that you can even bleed.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And I know some women are like, oh, I didn't bleed for a really long time and I'm so happy, but
our bodies do this for a reason, right?
It needs yep.
to happen. They need to shed.
It needs to happen. Yeah. We need to shed the old. Think of it as like shedding the old. It's like a new month. Mm-hmm. I'm shedding the old from last month.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It's yeah. like a natural cleaning almost. Like you said, like a detoxifying. Just it seems like anything else that's stores up in your body that needs to be shed.
Right.
It can create toxic levels of something.
Right. It can, absolutely. It can create adverse symptoms and, like, you know, like having too much estrogen is not the best thing in the world.
Right.
You know, mm-hmm. like last time we talked about like estrogen dominance, like how that can influence having more PMS symptoms like bloating, for instance, and being more weepy on your period. If you're not having your period, then that could be basically you're reabsorbing the estrogen, and that could be why your periods, your PMS looks that way. Mm-hmm. But I digress. So
I have a question before we move on to whatever you want to talk about next is even with like what we're putting on our body and our environment.
Yes.
So there are things that are like called hormone disruptors, things that will disrupt your hormones,
yes.
right? Like
yes.
in the products that we're putting in and on our body.
Yes.
What do you know about that?
So those are parabens or phthalates.
Okay.
So parabens and phthalates are actually made from crude oil, which crude oil become, you refine it and you can get parabens and phthalates, you get mineral oil from it, you get the gas that you put in your car from. Yeah, so like all of these things come from this product.
Mm-hmm.
With why parabens and phthalates are an issue is that basically they act like estrogens. So then that can be part of the estrogen dominance. It can also affect increased risk for like breast cancer. Can affect like mental emotional health because remember I said estrogen can like increase mm-hmm. like weepiness or having a lower mood on your period. Ovarian cancer, you have an increased risk for that because it's an exogenous estrogen, so it acts like estrogen. Technically it's not estrogen, but our bodies respond to it in that way, which can also lead to like extra weight.
Yes.
On the topic of weight, if you want to lose weight before getting pregnant, you'd want to do that in a year before trying to conceive, because with exposures to things like parabens or phthalates, which technically they're solvents, so you would usually pee them out. However, if you have like higher levels of them or you're being continuously exposed to it, our bodies store it as fat. So then when you're trying to lose the weight, you're releasing it back into your bloodstream, which can create symptoms like headaches or feeling like, oh, I feel really lethargic when I'm trying to work out. It's not necessarily because you're working too hard, but it could be because your body is like working on detoxifying or biotransforming these things so that they're no longer toxic to you, so you can pee it out and poop it out
So if you need to lose weight, that needs to happen before this 12-month time frame of detoxing before you get pregnant.
It can happen in that 12-year. Within that 12 months.
Not before. Okay.
Yeah. You can start it before that because then, you know, you don't have as much to do during that, you know, the 12 months.
But it should be one of the things that you're thinking about a year ahead of time. Okay.
Yes. Yeah. Because, like, there's so many things that we use on a daily basis that if we really thought about them, I think most of us would be scared to leave our homes.
Mm-hmm.
But we have to live, you know?
Right.
We need things in order to live efficiently and not work as slow, I guess.
Well, I mean, you think about the chairs we're sitting on. You know, we try, these are as eco-friendly as we can find. But the majority of, you know, there's sprays on everything.
Yeah.
I looked at the new pajamas I got my daughter and it said, you know, the flame retardant.
Yep.
It said that I can't wash it in soap because the flame retardant will come off. So I can't wash. I was like, I'm washing it. I'm washing all the flame retardant off, actually.
Yeah.
Well, you don't think about that.
Yeah.
My daughter needs a new nightgown. You buy her a nightgown and it's covered in a chemical so that it doesn't go into flames.
Yep. And so, like, to some things that the woman can do to help get herself ready before even consulting with a physician is that with regards to environmental medicine, so opting to eat the Dirty Dozen, you can look at the www.ewg.com, so that's the environmentalworkinggroup.com. They release the Dirty Dozen each year. So these are the fruits and vegetables that are most heavily sprayed.
Okay.
So opting to eat those things in season and organic as opposed to non-organic. And what that will do for you is that so pesticides have solvents, which paraben and phthalates are a type of solvent. So they have some of those components to them. By opting for organic fruits and vegetables that are on that Dirty Dozen, you don't have to do like all your fruits and vegetables organic. Preferably if they're like thin skin. So like if you eat the skin of it, so like tomatoes and like strawberries and berries, you'd want to opt for organic. But if not, at least the Dirty Dozen, make sure those fruits and vegetables are organic, because those pesticides have the endocrine disruptors, so things that affect your estrogen and your progesterone. And it's not just those things that affect, but again, your overall well-being. But since we're on the topic of...
So it can, because it's disrupting hormones, it can affect your ability to get pregnant.
Yes.
But let's say even while doing all this, you get pregnant. It's essentially affecting, again, your growing baby.
Yes.
Because there, you're disrupting the hormones that the baby is using to grow?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So if you're already pregnant, don't freak out. Just opt for, don't try and lose weight. That's one, because you're pregnant, so your body's trying to use all the energy to make baby.
Right.
As well as the fact that we don't want to release any of the stored toxins in your fat to the baby.
Mm-hmm.
But what you can do is, like, if you're going to eat fish, make sure that it's not one that's high in mercury.
Yes.
So, like, avoiding things like swordfish. And if you're going to eat tuna, make sure that, I think it's like albacore tuna. Don't quote me on that. You can look at the Environmental Working Group, and there are other resources as well that list out the fish that are lowest in mercury.
Okay.
Looking at your skincare products, and as much as you can, and as much as is possible, avoiding like shampoos and skincare products that have like parabens or phthalates or sulfates in them. Also because, you know, sulfates rub down your skin and it's not as moisturizing. And we want you to look glowing and magnificent. So there's that. So you can avoid those things in your skincare products, in your household items, the food that you eat.
So cleaning products, obviously.
Yes, cleaning products, yeah. And if anything has any fumes and you have to spray it, make sure that you have all the windows and doors open so it can air out. If you get your clothes dry cleaned and you have a garage, leaving them in the garage to off gas before taking them into your house. Or if you don't have a garage, if you have them in a room or you can have a rod that you can have, remove the plastic that they usually give you your dry cleaning.
Open a window or something.
Open the window. Yeah, and let them air out so that you're not exposing yourself to those fumes. yeah, and just do that. And then after the fact, then we can address those things then.
And then they would meet with you for a consultation,
yeah,
preconception, to try to get their body as healthy,
yeah,
as possible.
And even if she is already pregnant, what can we do to maintain the pregnancy while also minimizing her exposure to these environmental toxins?
Sure.
Yeah. And her addressing her mental health during that time, mm-hmm, if she hasn't already started that process. Mm-hmm. Is she eating adequate amount of calories? Is she getting... So since we're on the topic of nutrition, prenatal vitamins, you would start it at that year old.
Yes.
Okay. A year ahead of time.
A year ahead of time.
And obviously food-based versus...
Yes.
Yeah. The yes. generic, what you get at the normal,
yeah,
doctor's office.
Yeah, I've heard the free, you know, you get free prenatals at the pharmacy.
They're
basically junk.
We have very good quality ones as naturopathic yes. doctors, and I think DOs also have really high quality ones as
let's
well.
Let's say yeah. for somebody who can't afford.
Yes.
Then what are those over-the-counter free prenatals? Are they doing any good?
Yes.
Okay.
Because they have folate, and they have adequate number of B vitamins. They have, it's like a multi that's specifically geared towards not only mother's health, mom's health, but also making sure that the baby can develop well. So like folate is the one that I'm most thinking about at this present time, because folate is important for neural development. So like the spinal cord, mm-hmm, and what happens if there's insufficient or no folate is that the neural tube doesn't close, and then that can cause like spina bifida, which is a preventable condition if the mom is getting adequate vitamins. And so folate is B9.
Oh, folate is a B vitamin.
Yeah, it's a B vitamin. So it's a water-soluble vitamin that's very important for the neural tube development.
Now, what about, and I've heard, so my best friend found out she has this, and what's the name? Your body can't absorb folate.
I
forget what it's
I know
called.
What you're talking about.
So she actually had a really hard time getting pregnant because she was taking too much folic acid.
Yes. So,
but how do you, if you don't know you have this, then?
If you don't know you have it, if possible, choosing a supplement that has methylated B vitamins, so methylfolate as opposed to hydroxylated folate, is better. Because what Alyssa was talking about is called MTHFR.
Yes.
Another name that we think of.
Yes.
So it's methylated tetrahydrofolate reductase. So that's an enzyme that basically, when you take in folate, for most people, they can then attach a methyl group to it, which makes it active, bioactive. So there's this cycle that you need methylation to occur in order to make the B vitamins active, okay, which is important for making like your red blood cells, which is important for energy production, which is important for getting energy from your food. So like B vitamins, I think of them as like the powerhouse sidekick.
Okay.
Because, like, almost every enzyme in the body requires B vitamins. I have this lovely chart right here that shows the citric acid pathway, basically utilizing our food to make energy pathway. And, like, almost every single step in here requires two or three different types of B vitamins. Mm-hmm. There are even B vitamins that are enzymes themselves and, like, carry things along. It's like... Anyways, so
I love B vitamins.
So the free ones are helpful.
Yes,
it's better than nothing.
Yes, it's better than nothing. But if possible, there are different brands that we use as naturopathic doctors that you can probably try and get in like Amazon, mm-hmm, like Ortho Molecular, mm-hmm, or like Integrative Therapeutics Initiative, I think is the name of it, ITI. So I know those are like pharmaceutical grade. And when I say pharmaceutical grade, I mean like they have enough of the vitamin, like it's beyond the recommended dose. Like
right.
What the diet, the government says like this is minimally what you need.
Right.
And it's good therapeutic value. So we know that it will do what it says it says it's going to do. And they tend to have more of the methylated form. So like whether the mother has a difficult time methylating her B vitamins or if she doesn't, it's not, it takes more work for the body to do, so then it can go right to where it needs to go.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's fascinating.
Yeah.
Is there anything we didn't touch on?
I don't think so. We talked about environmental medicine and reducing your exposure. We talked about nutrition, making sure you're getting enough calories. Oh, fish oil, vitamin D3, specifically vitamin D3, because that's the active form, and prenatal vitamins. With regards to eating whole foods.
Okay. And we don't get enough vitamin D in Michigan anyway. And I mean, I know that, and again, I don't have a medical background, but I know a lot of research on preeclampsia shows a lack of vitamin D.
Yes.
Three. So.
Yep. Another thing about preeclampsia is calcium and magnesium. So if a woman starts to experience preeclampsia, making sure that it's usually... I shouldn't say usually. Sometimes it's due to an electrolyte balance and not getting enough protein. So we would want to look at how much protein is she getting. The ratio that we usually look for is at least 0.8 to 1 gram of protein per kilogram of weight. So however many pounds you weigh, divide your weight by 2.2 and that tells you how much kilograms. And then it's like 0.8 to 1 gram per that she should be getting. And so if she's getting adequate protein, has enough calcium and magnesium, then she shouldn't get preeclampsia. If she has a history of hypertension, making sure we're managing that, whether naturally or if she's taking medication, as long as it's not one that would interfere with conception, would help to prevent it from happening. But even if a woman experiences preeclampsia, it doesn't automatically mean that she will get eclampsia, because we can still at that point in time address what's going on.
Okay. Right. Well, thank you so much. I feel like we could keep going and going. You probably have 80 other topics we can talk about. We should just have you back once a week.
For sure.
Oh, I'd be down for that.
We'll set up a couple more. Well, tell our listeners where to find you if they want to reach out.
Okay, so you can find me at www.healthforlifegrandrapids.com, and you can find me on Instagram, Dr. Gainal Nave ND, and I'm also on Facebook at the same handle, Dr. Gainal Nave ND.
Great.
Yeah.
Thanks again.
Yes, so my pleasure.
And as always, you can find us at goldcoastdoulas.com. We are on Facebook, Instagram, and you can listen to our podcast, Ask the Doulas, on SoundCloud and iTunes. Thanks for listening.